Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Joanne Dahlketter with Performing Edge Coaching International, and it is July the 10th, 2014. And today I thought, we'd always like to make these calls relevant to, if possible, also what's happening in the news and what the issues that are current for today. So since we all saw that stunning loss by Brazil, a historic game on Sunday with Tuesday with lost to Germany of 7-1, one of the worst defeats ever of Brazil, World Cup soccer in their own country when they're hosting the games. It was just devastating to watch. You know, that's the sort of thing that can happen with all our athletes and in any sport, in any game or any kind of race. And so it's something that, how do you coach an athlete or a team after they've had a devastating loss like that? I think Brazil, gives us an opportunity to talk about that, what happened there, and then what happened. What could happen with your athletes or teams you might be working with. So I thought we could use this as a sort of a little workshop of how to, brainstorm different ways to be able to coach, say hypothetically, first of all, if you were, even if you don't know soccer, some of you do, some of you don't, maybe, but even if you don't know the game of soccer, how you would coach the team, since they now have to play for third place. I guess they'll be playing a team coming up to see if they can get at least the third place. They have to see if they can recover and muster up enough motivation for that. So, let's see. I heard a few other people joining us. Who else joined us? We've got Alex, and who else is on the call?
Hi, Joanne.
I'm here, Dr. Joanne. Oh,
sorry.
Hi, Amy.
It sounds like Michelle.
Yeah. Hi, how are you?
Hi, good. Yeah, you're back in, I guess you moved back from Bali in Indonesia to Canada, Vancouver now?
Yeah, I'm actually in Ontario, but yeah,
Ontario.
I'm in Canada.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, the other end, to the side.
Yeah,
okay.
How are you?
Is that where you're going to live for a while now?
I'm just here for a couple months, and then I'm back to Vancouver for good.
Oh, okay. Well, great.
Yeah.
Great. Well, welcome home. Welcome back.
Thank
home
you.
To your own country.
You sound so close.
Oh, good. Yeah, good. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
That's good. And Amy? Yeah. Hi, welcome, Amy.
Hi, Joanne. I just wanted to tell you I am going to be on the call, and then I have to leave. I'm getting in my car and driving into the city, and I have to teach at the ballet at 1. So I'm just going to be on till about a little bit before 1, and I'm going to have to hang up.
Okay.
Okay, great. Well, but congratulations. That was a great interview you had.
Oh, thank you. On Huffington Post, HuffPost Live TV. Yeah, I wanted to mention that, tell you how that happened and all. And was there anyone else that joined us, too? I wasn't sure how many dings I heard. But anyway, as each person joins us, let me know. And there's a few other people that joined us and that they're on mute right now. I guess that they were in conferences and stuff, so that's great. So, just to mention that in the email that I sent out to you, there's a link in there to the interview that I did with Huffington Post. I write a regular column for Huffington Post. If you go to huffingtonpost.com and Google my, or just put my name in the search box, you can see my column there. And so I had, for the Olympics, I had pitched them and just, or sent them a query and said I'd be interested in, being a guest on your HuffPost Live. That's their TV show, or their online TV. And so, which is, they get 30 million viewers a month or so. It's huge. It's international. And they're always talking about because they're online, they can, address things just as they happen, up to the minute. So I had asked them about being on, commentating for the Olympics. And we almost had something set up, and then at the last minute they couldn't do it. They had a different segment that took precedence, I guess. There's always breaking news of something. So, but I was on their radar that way. So this is a good tip for all of you if you want to get in the media, even your local TV shows or local magazines or radio. If you pitch them on something that you're interested in or that you're an expert in, some topic or sports that are coming up, then you can, you know, perhaps a lot of times they'll want to use you for that segment, or if they don't, for that, you know, for the thing that you pitched them for, at least you're in their Rolodex, so to speak. You used to call it Rolodex, now just database on their computer, so that next time some issue comes up where they need someone, a sports psychology expert or performance coach expert, they can they'll be more likely to call you. So that's what happened in this case with Huffington Post, is they knew they already had me in there because I'd pitched them before. They had my name there, and so they I didn't even have to pitch them for this World Cup soccer. They called me, and it was just all I had was, sometimes you got to be ready for these things. They called at 9:10 and said, yeah, we want you to be on at 9:30. I had just woken up, and so I had 20 minutes to comb my hair, try to get into some nice clothes because it was on video, and figure out, you know, get all my computer stuff ready, technologically ready there, and figure out what I'm going to say. I just barely, you know, I just got on, and the producer was talking to me. They use Google Hangouts. That's why it's really good to become familiar with Google Hangouts. I know I've done an interview with you, Alex, and with you, Amy, for Google Hangouts. So it's good to have that skill because lots of different programs use that now. Yeah, and I can, like, now that you're back in Canada, Michelle, it'd be great to do one with you, too, interview about your coaching. And so I got that hooked up, and they could see me. The producer says, yeah, I can see you, but I can't hear you. And they were almost going to cut me out and say, oh, we can't use her, we can't hear her. And I got my microphone plugged in just as a split second before they started and said, they were going to say I couldn't be on the show, but they said, okay, oh, now we can hear you. Okay, fine, let's go. And boom, they started the show. And they used two other sports psychology experts, too. But they, so there was two other men and then myself. And it turns out, I don't know who the other two guys were, but they were kind of boring. And so the host kept coming, and one of them was having audio problems, and one was using a phone, so it looked kind of funny. So the host kept coming back to me for questions. So if you can, you know, have your tech not, make sure your Google Hangouts is set up and, you know, tested and your computer's working, then you'll have the advantage over other guests on a show. And if you can be interesting and, you know, just talk, don't talk in a monotone, but, you know, talk like you're, you know, tell a story or, you know, and move your voice around so that you're more, you know, just more interesting to listen to, then the host will more likely come back to you with questions, too. So that was a good thing. And then once you have the interview, like I got on HuffPost Live there, those of you, who, if you didn't get a chance to see it, to hear it, you know, just go to that email I sent yesterday and click on the link there, and you can see how it works. And they put your name, and make sure you, if you put your name and if you're an author of a book or if you're your title of some sort, they'll put that on the screen as well. Sometimes they'll put your website, so tell them what that is. And so that's really good advertising for you. And then what I did was afterward, the great thing about these online shows, TV shows, is that they're live right there. And then right afterward, you go to their website, and it'll say embed or share. And you click the share button there or embed, and then it will give you a link. And you just put that link on your website. And that's what I did. I put it on drjoanne.com. And then you can direct people to your own website, and it will play the video right from the TV's website, so that you can direct people to your website, get more views, and also, you know, make it an article, you know, put a few points in there, put links to other parts of your website, to your coaching, and maybe a free consultation or a product, whatever you want to sell, and then that's then you're directing your list of people to that your website when you talk about the TV or whatever that you're on. So that way, that's a great way of marketing. So I just wanted to bring that up first, that that's a really good way to use, to be in the news and, you know, like the World Cup soccer right now, to be current on what's happening in the news and then be able to be an expert. Like, I'm not a particular expert in the game of soccer. I played soccer, but I'm not, you know, I've never was world-class soccer player. But yet, you know, all the sport, the, what we do with sports psychology and mental training applies to any sport, so you can really be an expert in any sport because the mental part applies to all of that. All you have to do is, you know, Google that, whatever's happening in that sport at the time, and you can know enough about it to be able to be, you know, just know what's happening at that time to be an expert for the media. So, yeah, that's a good example. Yeah, did someone new join us a few minutes ago, too?
Hello, Eva from Luxembourg.
Oh, hi, Eva. How are you?
Fine.
Oh, good, yeah. All the way from Luxembourg. Yeah, it's great to have you because I know that you're really, I mean, Belgium and, you know, is really into soccer. And you go back and forth from Luxembourg to Belgium, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
and I'm on holiday now, and that's why I can attend, and the topic is interesting, but Brazil, so...
Yeah, so let's just kind of use this as a workshop here and talk about, you know, if you were coaching Brazil, you know, for the... Everybody probably knows what happened, but just to review, that if you weren't aware, yeah, Tuesday, the... Yeah, it was just a devastating... lost by Brazil, it's 1-7 to Germany in their own country, you know, hosting the one of the worst losses ever. And it was just horrible to watch, or difficult to watch. And it was almost like, I call it post-traumatic soccer syndrome. Just came up with that term, kind of like post-traumatic stress syndrome, but putting in the word soccer for the whole country as well as for the team. But if, let's say you were coaching the team, now after this loss, and now they need to, Brazil needs to play, you know, for third place. They have to play one more game to see if they can get third place after this devastating loss. You know, well, first of all, yeah, what are your impressions about what happened in this last game, and then how would you coach them going forward to this next game? Hey, Eve, since you're in Luxembourg, yeah, I know it's difficult for you to get on the calls a lot of the time. Do you want to go first and just to give us your impression?
Well, in fact, my impression when I watched the game, it's the mental was deficient. We could see that they were scared to play, and mainly I think it's due to the fact that old Brazil, the pressure was very high on them, and they were sure to win. So they were. It's also a country where emotions are very important. They lack also of organization, and when the Germany scored the first. Goal. They were totally you know, down. No, but we could see that there were no leader in the on the field. Also, to say, okay, let's be organized. When you watch the team, that was not we had the impression that was not a professional team. Everybody were running everywhere. There were holes in the. In the defense line, so it's clearly the mental went down because, in fact, I'm not sure that they had a mental coach, and they should have won because although we have to be positive, we also have to be trained maybe 10% that we can lose. And then if we can lose, oh, to recover after the first goal. Now, in the future, it's clear that that's an important game for them, although it's not an important game for the World Cup, because it's it's finished for them, but it's to recover and to show that there is a structure in the group, and they are not afraid to play, to be free, to use their ability. Clearly, Neymar was injured, and I don't think that everybody relied on them and not on the group before. So I think that now it's to lose and to be well structured in defense to rebuild the confidence.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that's great. Yeah, it's really good to get your impressions, Eve, because since you're in Europe and soccer and football is such a huge sport, it's a huge part of what goes on in Europe. And I'm sure you follow it. You're an expert in that area. That's great to rebuild their. And how would you rebuild their confidence if you were coaching them?
Well, it's clear to talk with each of them and to express their emotions, to understand their emotions. What was the, what you said in English, the blockage? Because you can realize that the problem, the Brazilians, and that was the same case in 1998 when they played the final against France. It's there. We have the impression that they are paralyzed. They don't use all their ability because of the pressure. And it's always the problem of Brazil that they put everything on a name. They always had that. They had Pelé, that Romario, that Ronaldo. And in 1998, I remember Ronaldo had a serious problem before the final, and he was shaken, I think, before the final, and they didn't know if he could play, and then finally he played. But it's always one man supporting all the hope and all the hope of the team, and not the team. So I would rebuild the. Not based on one person, on one hero, on one guru, but on the potential of the team together.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, that's exactly what I've been thinking as well. That you, because one person can get injured. They're not. We forget that we make them into a god, I think, we're human, and we think that they can do everything. But that person is only human, and they can get injured. They could get down mentally. Yeah, they could get paralyzed by the pressure, as you say, Eve. That's a great analysis that you gave, and it has to be. You have to have backups, right? You have to have a team spirit, and. Be able to say and have a plan. Be able to be flexible. Have that flexibility to say, okay, if Ronaldo can't play, you know, what are we going to do? Or whoever team member, we got to be able to. How are we going to bounce back? How are we going to recover? Who's going to be our next player? Who's going to replace that person? And how can the team kind of reshape itself, regroup? Right? Yeah, that's great. Did someone else join us too? I heard another ding. But it could be somebody coming in and out. Anyway, Alex, are you there too?
Yeah, I'm here, yes.
Yeah, good. I know, Alex, you're from Argentina.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, you must be excited that Argentina won yesterday and that, you're going to be playing in the finals. And so I just wondered, and, you know, I'm sure you follow soccer a lot as well. I just wondered what your impressions are of what happened, in the game, this last game, and then how you would coach... Yeah, the team.
Me for the Brazilian game?
Yeah, how you go, well, even though you're from Argentina, you'd want to be for them, but how would, with Brazil, since we're talking about how to come back, how you would coach Brazil to, be able to come back and recover from this?
Yeah. Yeah, surely a very challenging situation, particularly when that's
yeah, what were your thoughts when you watched it, or when you heard about what happened with Brazil?
I mean, I didn't see the match. I didn't watch it. I was busy. I was working, so I couldn't watch the match. I mean, I found out later. Extremely unusual to score that many goals in one game, and much less against another highly talented team. But it seems to me, I mean, again, I'm not there, so it's easier to see it from here than from there. But they are, after the team Brazilians lost the key player Neymar, appears to me that the team did not get over that loss emotionally. They were still embracing, in one way or another, that player Neymar. I mean, they came out to the field bringing his jersey, the number, and a lot of the fans were carrying masks with a picture of Neymar. I mean, I can understand having an emotional some carryover. I can push a little bit because, I mean, we are playing for him. But after a while, that emotional plus, it becomes a minus unless you have a backup plan. It's like going to the to a marathon, and I'm going to run for my mother. Great, so you may start very well, but after the mile number 7, then you have to run for you, not for your mother.
Right?
So I think something similar happened to the Brazilian team. It's nice that they play for Neymar, the first 5 minutes, but then after the Germans began to attack and the game was really moving forward, then what's the plan? I mean, and they appear to have no mental plan to move past the loss of Neymar. So that's what I think it happened. So I think that they're still... I mean, I don't know what's going on now, but I think they may still be now choking up, not just by the loss of Neymar, but also that they lost 7-1 at home, which is extremely humiliating, particularly when there's so many emotions attached to the Brazilians and the high expectations of reaching the final.
It sounds like someone's breathing.
I
hear sort of a breathing noise into the background. Maybe other people could just, for a moment, if you could mute your phones, just push *6, then that'll kind of cut out the background noise so we can hear, get a good, hear Alex here.
Yeah.
We'll go, oh, that's good. Yeah. And then if you'd like to speak, just press *6 again to speak. Yeah. So, sorry, go ahead, Alex.
So that's kind of my view from here.
Didn't have any mental plan to pass the loss of
Neymar? I'm sorry?
Yeah, and so if you were to coach them, Alex, to, you know, this next game they have to do to try to recover, what would you do to kind of give them that mental plan?
Yeah, I think I'll go back to square one, and I think it needs to be some time to process that we don't have Neymar, that we lost the match, and it was embarrassing, humiliating.
We don't have what?
That we lost the famous player, because his name is Neymar.
Right.
He was injured in the quarterfinals. So I think the team needs to come to grips with the loss of that player, and to come up with whatever emotions are surround the not having that key player in the team. It's like you need to process that. You cannot just assume that it did not happen, or just carry with me. I think the team needs to process that they don't have a key player. Some players may be angry, some players may be upset. So there's a lot of emotions behind it. And unless there's some time, some opportunity to process that, then that lingers. That lingers with you when you go to play. So I don't know how much time that is, whether somebody can devote 20 minutes, half an hour, a day, I don't know, whatever that is. But it needs to be some space to process that before they can move on and move on with, it's like, in essence, it's not much different from grieving, like somebody passed away to some extent, right? So we need to, it's like a grief. So you grieve the loss of somebody. I mean, he didn't die. But from the team, he's not there. So it's somewhat similar.
Yeah.
So you need to assume, you need to process that he's not there. And once you come with the emotions of he's not there, then you'd be better prepared to move forward. To move forward, meaning somebody then will assume some leadership for the remaining players, and that player becomes a natural leader after Neymar is gone, so the rest of the team can look up to him. But that needs to come from a group process, so that somebody needs to be with the entire team and address the loss of Neymar and address the humiliation of the losing 7-1 and address the not reaching the final and address the embarrassing experience, all these different factors that may come up. And so to invite people to talk, the players to talk. The coach may not have to be there. He may or may not, I don't know. But there needs to be some opportunity for the players to talk. And then after talking, then somebody naturally will come up, will stand up. And so others can look up to that player, and that becomes a natural leader. So when they jump and go to the pitch, meet to the field, and start playing, so then that person would have a stronger voice. And then it becomes easier to create a structure, to create a plan, to have some great logistics strategy behind the players, so they can face the next opponent. Otherwise, it's like going with emotions, and every single time they touch the soccer ball, but that doesn't go too far. It may go well for the next 5 minutes, but they will collapse again.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, that's I'm not an expert, but that's kind of what I would do.
Yeah, I think that's really great. Yeah. Eve and Alex, fantastic ideas, I think. I think it is like a loss, grieving, just the process of just like losing your family member.
Mm-hmm.
And with these teams, it is really, I mean, they play together, they work together, they probably hang out together afterward, and so it is like a family.
Mm-hmm.
And when an athlete can't play, it is like losing a family member. As far as being able to be functionally active in the game. And so there's a big loss there, a big hole to fill. And so it is really important, like you say, Alex, to have a time to process all that. And all that can happen after the finals here, after the whole thing's over. They can have more time to process that, so it's kind of a long-term processing that can go on then, so that they can rebuild the team for, you know, the next season and all of that. But then there's also the short-term processing, because they still have to play one more game here to be able to compete for third place, and so they somehow have to recover and, you know, not be from this embarrassment that they know they've, you know, really messed up, and they're not done well for this last game of this devastating loss, and still they have to go out there on the field with millions of people watching for one more game and try to save face. So let me ask you, since we're using this call as a sort of a workshop here of what you would do to coach them, and you guys have got great ideas. So let's say you were coaching Brazil to this next game that they have to play very shortly for third place, and maybe they don't have time to do all that long-term processing. How do you do a sort of a short-term recovery that they can where they can come back, and maybe there isn't time to process all the emotions? But they still need to somehow get their game face on to do the best they can in light of what's happened. What do you guys think about that? I don't know, Michelle and Amy, is there anyone else that's joined us also? And Michelle and Amy, we got Michelle, Amy, and Eve, and Alex. Is there anyone else new on the call?
What I would do is I would emphasize on the attribute that each player has that has led him to achieve this to this point.
Uh-huh.
But clearly, they're talented players. They're very good. It's not that their talent is gone, disappeared. So they have put a lot of work behind it, you know, to reach this this stage of the game. So there's a lot of pluses that that this each individual has,
yeah,
you know, to achieve this level. So I would put a lot of emphasis or focus on trying to bring back each gift or whatever talent that each person has, or each player has, that makes him unique. So to try to bring the positive side of each individual. And then that's step one. How the talent of each individual becomes the talent of the entire team. So try to gather each person's talents or gifts, and how these each person's talents then is affecting the team functioning. So to create a more positive mind frame from a team perspective.
Right. Good. Yeah. How about Amy or that's fantastic, Alex. I love that, your idea. Yeah, the talents really bring out the pluses and the strengths of each team, the individuals and the team. Amy or Michelle, are you guys there? What are your thoughts about that?
Hi, Joanne. It's Amy. What I would do is I would pull the team together, and I would have somebody come in and do some meditation,
uh-huh,
and get them really calm and grounded. And then, I like what Alex said, I would ask each player how they can change and do something differently. What can they personally contribute to this next important match? And what would they do differently from the game that they just played, so that everybody kind of takes responsibility and they work cohesively together? And then I would also show them a play or a replay of a game that they played where they played beautifully and, you know, kind of emphasize, you know, this was just really unusual. This hardly ever happens.
Yeah.
And, you know, look what we've done, to kind of boast their past experiences. And I think between, you know, keeping them calm and grounded and making them take responsibility and come up with a plan personally, and then watching something from the past, could get them motivated and charged up to move forward again.
I like that. Yeah, that's great.
What it's funny, it's when you look at the performance of Brazil the last 2.5 years, in fact, they won during 2.5 years, and then they lost one game, and it's a disaster. Then if you just create the balance, it's far more positive than what everybody is thinking about them. Especially in Brazil, they are killing the team, but look at the performance. I agree with you to say let's visualize the game, the best game you performed, and then reproduce it.
Yeah, I love that, because what tends to happen is if you make a mistake, then athletes tend to replay that mistake over and over in their minds, and then the body follows those mental instructions. They just keep thinking, oh, God, why did I do that? Or I made this mistake, and it's like a bad dream that you just kind of replay over in your mind. And what we want to do is say, Amy and Alex, Eve, is to... create a new movie in your mind of what you do want to happen, and to keep playing that over and over in your mind. Imagine it like a new movie or a new, you can, and that would help, like you said, Amy, to create a replay of where they played really well and just keep playing. And all lots of replay. I'm sure they've been playing for, I mean, soccer is their game in Brazil. It's like their national sport. And so they have tons of replays of fantastic shots that they've done and probably lots of great players, not just that one good player and so that they lost. So if they can, it's almost like a reprogramming, if you can reprogram their minds to and get those good images back and just try to forget. It's like in baseball, they say have a short-term memory when things aren't going well, have a short-term memory for the what just happened. And have some sort of, another thing they could do along the lines of what you guys are talking about is to have a ritual, a little something that they could do to get rid of what just happened. Like, you know, the example of when I work with pitchers, Major League Baseball, when a pitcher hit threw a bad pitch, he'd go back, help him to go back to the mound, and he would just take a stone from the ground and throw it backwards. And so he just, throw it behind him and say, okay, that's over, that's done, you know, next pitch. And so something that they could do, maybe they could take a soccer ball and throw it behind them or something to say that's done, that's history. it was history, definitely, but, or just say that's behind me now, and then say next. Whatever the sport is in soccer, you know, next game, and within the game you can say, you know, next play, next minute, next pass. And so you're only focused, if they could just think about, you know, being only focused on the what they have to do next rather than what just happened, even though obviously it's difficult in this case because the whole world is focused on what just happened before, and it was devastating. But this is a time when, you know, to talk about inspirational stories, I think, are something that are really great, too, if they can talk about some of the great, sports psychologist or a performance coach could come in and talk about, or the coach could talk about inspirational stories of how they've done really well and how, you know, other teams have comeback stories. Like Brazil's done so well, but they haven't had to come back too much often. But this time, not to focus on the championship stories, but to focus on the comeback stories because that's when the athletes become their greatest. You know, when they're at their depths, that's when you find out what you're made of is when you're down in the dumps and you're able to come back and have that resilience. So talk about, you know, those kind of qualities and maybe ask players, you know, what does it take to come back and what kind of qualities do we have as a team to be able to bounce back from this and show that we can, do well in this next game. And just to totally what is possible in the mind to wipe out what did happen, even though, I think, like Alex, you were saying, it is really important in the long term to process what did happen and go through the emotions of all that. But right now, it's showtime, and they don't have time to do a lot of long-term processing before this next game. So the short-term plan could be to just, in the short term, say imagine what just happened. Imagine you could just take, put that in a file folder and just put it in your file cabinet or something, and or in your locker room. In the case of soccer, put it in your locker, and just lock it, close it up for now. And we're going to come back to that file later.
So, are you saying that not to talk about it? Period. Nothing.
Oh, I think it is. Yeah, it's important to talk about it. Yeah, for sure. But I'm just saying, the long-term kind of processing of a grief, like when you lose a mother or something, it takes a while.
Yeah, of course.
To process it. But, do talk about it, yeah. But when it gets close to the game, like that morning of the game, focusing on what else to, how can we come back from this?
Yeah.
So, I didn't mean to imply that, but Al, to... Alex, like you said, to talk about it, express their emotions, but then also to, as you get really close to the game, to just be able to do something with those emotions, be able to file them short-term, file them away in some place so that you can function, so you can actually play the next game and do your best. And then afterward, you can take that file out again. It's not like it's put away forever, but then bring those emotions back. Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah, it does.
I just want to bring in Michelle, too. Are you there, Michelle?
I'm still here. Hi, Dr. Joanne.
Yeah, I just wondered what your thoughts are on it, on the soccer, and how you would coach the, you know, how you responded to it if you watched, and how you would coach or this team or any other team to come back from a tough situation.
Yeah, well, I guess in this situation, I probably would look at why they panicked and just fell apart. And I think the biggest thing there was they lost that present focus that we've been talking about all along. And so going forward into playing for bronze, I would deal with that a lot. And even if you can find some power words or anchors that the group can agree upon, and if you feel like the game is slipping away or they are losing their present focus, if there was just, you know, something that someone could say like, be here right now, or that would just rally the team together and get them back in the moment, I think would be really good. The other thing is their confidence is shot, and so I would do replays of really successful points in the past or games and just really work on their confidence. And I love what you said about filing the negative emotions and then dealing with them later. Mm-hmm. So that's probably, you know, I would just try to build them up as a cohesive team, just some collective words and sayings that they could use to get their mind back into the game, be in the present moment, just in case things do go sideways, so that they don't panic and they stick to their game plan, and to rebuild their confidence just through those inspirational stories or, you know, video replays, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, so that's good. Yeah, use the, and I like how you brought in the performing edge techniques of present focus and the power words, and it just kind of brings you back to something simple you can do. Take a deep breath and just have like a little mantra of some sort. They probably have that sort of thing, something they say as a team to kind of bring people together. And so if there's something they can say that if teams are deeply religious too, they can pray together or pray to their own god or their soccer gods. Anything that will help at this point, that prayer can help, or just visualizing the great team that they are. And that, like, I love that what you said, Eve, that they've gotten so far. They've won the last 2.5 games, and they've only lost one game. It happened to be this really high profile game, but in the big picture, they've done really well. So it's important to bring out the big picture, not just focus on that one loss, but see the big picture, the tremendous history of great playing and great players, being able to find, like Alex, you said, maybe a leader will emerge, finding a new leader or a temporary leader. Sometimes when somebody, it's like a CEO, when they leave the company, they have a temporary CEO that comes in before they find the real leader. Sometimes it can be a sort of someone that steps up to the plate, you know, at this next game. Someone is often a person who's, you know, good at crisis intervention, and that's what this is really, is a crisis. Someone who can save the day and can who excels when the stakes are down and can really step in when when things are the toughest, and that kind of person really, you know, becomes a leader and a savior for the team. So that often can happen here. I was just going to mention too that in this kind of situation, often there can be a lot of blaming that goes on, which is a negative thing. You know, everybody when things are not going well, people want to find it was your fault. It was your fault. You screwed up, or why didn't you do this? Why didn't you come in here? And kind of finger pointing, so that it's a way of not taking responsibility. Each person, but if in a situation like this, if you're coaching a team, it's good to try to make the team realize that blaming and finger pointing is not going to do us any good, and it's only going to make things worse. That what we need to do is say, hey, what can we let's take responsibility, each person, say how can we. Instead of saying why, those questions I ask, there's two kinds of questions that we can ask ourselves. The negative questions, which are, why does this always happen to me? Why did we screw up? Why are we such, why do we mess up at a time when it's most important? And what went wrong? All that, those are important questions to ask, but right now it's better to ask what I call the positive action questions, which are questions that start with what or how. So questions like, what's good about this situation? I know it's a really tough question to ask, but what's good about this the situation is, and ask people, there's always something good about this situation. Maybe it's a chance to come back and to get the bronze medal, to save face. That people will come up with different things, and then questions like what can we learn from this? What's the learning from the last game that we can carry forward into this next game? Those are tough questions, but they're questions that move you toward positive action. And then the how questions, how can we take advantage of this situation? So that's an important one. How can we take advantage of what's happened here and do our best? Or how can we use this to our advantage? That's a good question to really stimulate their thinking, their creative thinking about what to do now. Another question is, how can we keep moving forward? And keep using those words, keep moving forward. Another question to ask is, what's the next step? So those are questions to really ask the team, to get them thinking about, take positive action in this situation. Because anyone can, when you win a game, anyone can celebrate and know how to respond in a great situation when you're winning. But it's really good athletes that that really respond well when the chips are down, and when you're losing and then you make that comeback. So I think those are the greatest athletes in the world that know how to do that. Let me just ask you guys that question. If you were to ask the team, let's say, what's good about this situation, which is a tough question to ask, but let's say the team is having trouble coming up with answers or whatever, and you sort of want to help them along, how would you answer that? Or if you were in their position, let's say you were on the Brazilian team, and the sports psychologist ask you, what's good about this situation that we just lost? How would you answer that? Let me just ask you guys, can you guys come up with something that could help? Think of what's good about that situation. You guys there? Anybody?
So one thing, it's as now we we fell down to the bottom. We can only see the top. So that's it's a good challenge for the ego also. The opportunity to show really who we are for the next game and the next World Cup.
I love that. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, exactly.
There's an interesting book called.
Is that Alex?
Yes, me.
So can you speak a little bit louder?
Yeah, there is a very interesting book called Sometimes You Win and Sometimes You Learn.
That's good.
I like that.
Right? Because basically it's from losing experiences is when you learn the most.
Yeah, who's the author?
Maxwell, I believe.
Oh, but it's okay.
Sometimes you win and sometimes you learn.
Okay.
Basically, the entire book is about learning, using the upsetting or losing experiences as your point to define yourself and how you want to move forward. That's the greatest opportunity for learning. You build confidence with winning, but you learn by losing. Not that he wants you to lose, but to have a different perspective of losing. So the idea of not to override it just loss, but take a pause and understand what led to this experience to happen and how can I move forward. If I can take a look at that and learn from this experience, so I can either use different strategies, different self-talk, different motivation, different techniques that would help me to handle the same situation more effectively next time, then I am learning, I'm improving, I'm getting better. So I can use that losing experience as the as a next step in order to improve and be a better athlete. So I think that from a Brazilian team perspective, as upsetting this must be for them, can also be a personality wake-up call for the team and define themselves. Who are we as Brazilian team? How do we define ourselves? Are we define ourselves by losing 7-1? Or are we define ourselves by bouncing back?
Yeah.
So basically it's how to take this 7-1 defeat and then use it as a motivating force so I can look at each one of them and say, okay, what did I do? What did not do? So next time I can do better. So anyways, that's basically what the book is saying.
Yeah, I love that. That's good.
One point about the Brazilian also, it's in fact, they are very Catholic, and for them, they were chosen by God to play football and to be they were elected by God to be the best team in the world. And now they face a very big loss. So maybe the approach will change for them, that it's not God which is driving the result, but their own personality, their own will to achieve. It's not dogmatic football. You don't win before you play.
I love that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that they need to take responsibility.
And there's another point from the European perspective. When you look at Argentina and Brazil, in Brazil they always talk about Neymar, and never about the other. So if I'm the coach of Brazil, I would not do that, because the others they feel the servants of Neymar. If you look at Argentina, they have Messi, the best player in the world, and the message, at least in Europe, is different. We don't hear all the time Messi. It's the team Argentina.
Right. It's just that's good, because it's that person is just one person, and oftentimes it can make the other players not feel inadequate if they're just as you say, just talking about one great one person all the time, and everybody else is thinking I'll never be as good as Neymar, I'll never be as good as Messi, or there might be these really great up and coming players, but they're not acknowledged, and so they don't get to reach their full potential. But if you could, as you say, just say, the team, Argentina, then it, that's a stronger word than just one guy, I think, when you're talking about a team sport, for sure. So that's a really good point, Eve. Yeah, that's great. Well, this is anyone else have other ideas or thoughts on this?
Well, I think, this is Michelle.
Yeah.
I think also losing, it teaches you humility and compassion, and that makes you a much more well-rounded player in the long run.
Uh-huh.
And also, when these Brazilians lose, and you have one of two choices, you can hang your head in shame, and your life can be defined by that, or you can rise above that and realize that you are just a part of that game, and it's not entirely who you are. It's just something you do. So I think it can, in a lot of ways, it can lead to incredible personal growth in the long run, although, their suffering at the moment.
Right. I love that.
So that could be a positive, when we're trying to find some positives in this. And if they came back in, the bronze medal round and did well, then they could possibly be remembered for, a good comeback.
Yeah, exactly. And being able to handle that kind of situation, because it may well come up again that they get beaten by somebody in the future, maybe not by that much, but we all need to be able to learn how to handle losses. So, Michelle, that's great. Yeah. Be able to learn humility and I think, to how to approach loss from a different angle, because losses can be, as you say, can be really be an opportunity to find out something that's difficult to learn under any other circumstances. And you can say to yourself, oh, I really screwed up this time, or all those hours of training have been wasted, or I let my friends down, I let my family down, let my country, Brazil down. I let my coach down, let my sponsors down. Any athlete might say that. Or you can approach the situation, you do have choices, as you say, Michelle. You can approach the situation with a more forgiving attitude. You can say, all right, well, okay, we came up short on our goal in Brazil here, but that doesn't mean that I'm a worthless person, or it doesn't mean we're a worthless team. We're just disappointed short term here, but this is not a life or death situation. It has nothing to do with my value as a human being or our value as a team. It has to do with, what happened on that specific day, performing a specific skill under those particular conditions on this particular day, and bring it down to the, what happened on that day. And so then you ask yourself, you can, when you're coaching athletes, you can ask them to ask themselves, what positive lessons can I learn from this experience that will help me improve my performance, under those circumstances in the future? So, because that situation might come up again where you're losing or you lose a great player. How can we even rehearse that? I think it's a good idea to have all the different possible scenarios. Most teams only have a plan A, like Brazil maybe only had a plan A of winning, and everything was going to go just fine. But often, what if that things don't play out like you had imagined? Other things happen, then you need to have a plan B and a plan C. What if yeah, Neymar can't perform. What if somebody else? Who's going to step in? What's our plan B here? What's our plan C? And be able to visualize those, all the different possible scenarios, so that you have a plan for handling any situation that comes up. I think that's where, you know, Brazil came up short, that they didn't have that plan B. And if you can have teach your athletes to have that plan B and plan C, then they're going to be much more, yeah, well-rounded, much more prepared for anything that happens. And you can say, okay, well, what can I, positive lessons can I learn from this that will improve my performance next time? Maybe I can get better rest. Maybe I can, the days before the race or the game, maybe I can do deep breathing to relax. Maybe I can warm up better. Maybe I can visualize the different things that might happen. Maybe we can, like with Brazil, maybe we can have a different lead. You know, who's going to be leader number B if our top guy goes out? And then how are we going to regroup as a team? All of that. So, and I think if you can tell them, if I was coaching the Brazil team, I'd say that, you know, all great athletes have failed at some point, and the successful ones have turned their losses into eventual gain. And so, I know, you know, we failed this time to get, you know, to make our goal, but that, you know, we don't need to have this be, everybody else is seeing it as a catastrophe, but we don't need to see it as a catastrophe. We can determine that, okay, on that particular day, you know, when we played Germany, that particular strategy didn't work. You know, we didn't do our best, but we don't need to destroy ourselves over a poor performance. Let's use this as an opportunity to become stronger and be better prepared for our next event, you know, so we can go for the bronze. And I think most athletes, you know, you hear in soccer, well, for Brazil, you know, it was only one goal of, because they were hosting the team, the World Cup soccer, and they've been preparing for this for years. The only success they were seeing in their minds is to win the World Cup. And now that isn't going to happen, so they need to be able to regroup and find out, okay, what's the next goal? So now we're going for bronze. So how can we go for bronze here? How can we change our goal so we can have a different kind of success? And same thing with the Olympics. You hear all these Olympians say, I'm going for gold. Anything less than that will be a failure. But, you know, what about silver? What about bronze? What about just being in the Olympics is a success? You know, millions of people around the world would love to have the opportunity just to be in the Olympics. So if you can teach people to redefine their circumstances and realize that, hey, there's different ways to have success, you know, one of which is winning, and to be able to say, hey, be open to new options. You know, falling short of that goal, it can lead to frustration and distress and feeling hopeless, but it can also be the best thing that ever happened to you. You know, it can give you a chance to really get to know yourself, to challenge your ability to cope with adversity. I mean, that's really the heart of what a great athlete is, I think, is that ability to handle adversity and to move forward. It can help you, you know, reevaluate what's important here in your life, with the team, and reflect on what direction your training's taking and the team is taking. And you might even decide to choose, you know, to go a different direction. You know, example of that is myself, just to use that with my sport. You know, I was, after winning the San Francisco Marathon, I ran one of the fastest times in American history back in 1980, and it was would have been a qualifying time for the Olympic trials. Then I had developed a stress fracture, and I had a 6-month layoff from running, and I decided to take up cycling and swimming to stay in shape and to recover. As cross training, and that led my interest to exploring the sport of triathlons. And only 9 months after I had the stress fracture, and I, you know, brought back in my running. I was able to start running at that point and combine that with the swimming and cycling. And I went on to do the Hawaii Ironman Triathlon World Championship, and I ended up finishing, you know, second in the Hawaii Ironman Triathlon. And it's a talent that I may have never discovered otherwise, because I was able to, make that comeback from having that injury to realizing, hey, maybe there's something even better I could do in this, you know, combined running with this other new sport. So that was an example of taking a failure or a loss of ability to run and then turning it into something even better. So telling these athletes, your life is much better than even if you do lose a race or a game, just realizing, you know, I think if I was coaching the team there too, in Brazil and other teams, telling them that the road to these great performances is often a roller coaster of progress and setbacks, and, you know, peaks and valleys, and you know, it's not just a steady climb up to the top like the media makes it out to be a lot of times. And if you do choose lose in a game or a race or any event, you know, just remember that if you can tell your athletes that loss is not the sum total of your life, it's just one experience you're presently going through, and that your life is much greater than this loss. And that afterwards, you know, after the World Cup's over, I would talk to the team about how these disappointing feelings will fade, and you can emerge from this as a much stronger, wiser athlete, a much stronger, wiser person, a much stronger team. And, you know, Brazil could do that. Other teams can do that, and our people that we're coaching can do that. And your athletic abilities may well, you know, flourish from this. So. Yeah, so I think there's a lot of lessons to learn from this, from what happened in Brazil. And I think, you know, athletes can turn every loss into a gain, and you can put yourself back in charge. And, just letting people know, just no matter what sport you're coaching, the better you can adapt to your successes and failures, the more satisfied you'll be. So I think it's really important to, you know, when you're coaching your athletes too, to not just look at this situation, you know, to not let it define yourself, but to say, not measure your self-worth only by these the results in this game or race, you know, just to say, hey, we are people first, you know, and you're an athlete, but you're also a human being here, and there's a lot to be learned. So I think, you know, it's kind of like as sports psychology experts and performing edge experts, this is like an opportunity for us to, you know, when there is a loss, to really dive in and that's where the learning really takes place. Alex, just like you were saying, and Michelle and Amy and Eve, there's just so much learning that can happen during that time. It's like that's when the introspection starts, and so that's when we can often do the most good as coaches, is to move in and really be supportive. So,
by the way, the name of the book, Sometimes You Win, Sometimes You Learn,
uh-huh,
is by John Maxwell.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing
you.
That, Alex. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay, John Maxwell. So, yeah, that's a great title, too. So, yeah, great. Well, we're just about out of time. Well, we'll have our next call on July 24th. These calls are always second and fourth Thursday of the month at 9 a.m. Pacific. And, maybe we can just go around, those of you who are still on the call, and it's always good to just say what you, one nugget or something that stuck in your mind that was most helpful for you today, or something you want to remember, so we can all remember it. What was most helpful for you, you guys? Or just some nuggets that you thought stuck out?
Well, near the end, when you said turning a loss into a gain, it puts you in charge,
uh-huh,
I thought that was a fantastic nugget.
Yeah, okay.
And also, when you mentioned earlier about, you know, when you can't process, you're in the middle of a tournament and you have a lot of negative or conflicting emotions and you there's not enough time to sort of go through all of those to just, you know, create a mental image of a file and store that away, and then we'll look at it later when the tournament's over. I thought that was really very clever.
Oh, good, yeah. And it can be whatever image you have, a file, a locker box.
Yeah.
It could be under a rock somewhere, whatever the athlete, the person, want, however they want to file it away. So, great, yeah, that's good. Yeah, thanks, Michelle. Yeah, you guys, Alex and Eve, if you saw the
call.
Yeah,
I think it was a good discussion about these opportunities that are in front of us and how we can redefine them for the better of each athlete. It's a good discussion. I liked it.
Yeah, I think it was one of our best discussions we've ever had. It's great to use this World Cup loss for Brazil as an opportunity here. That's great. Thank you, Alex. And Eve, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. So, yeah, very good. I took notes about the ideas of everybody, and I thank all. And one thing I would like to tell you, Joanne, you should try to contact Brazil, no? To be the mental coach of the Brazilian team.
they need some help right now. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I wish I could. they need so much right now. The thing is, yeah, it's the best time to contact a team or a major sports like that is before, you know, a few months before the big game. Of course, right now they only want to deal with people that they already know, I'm sure, and the people that they're closest to there. But there's more afterward, you know. You know, that's one of the best times to contact athletes and teams, even well-known teams and well-known athletes, is when they're injured physically or mentally. When they're injured, there's nothing going on. they're depressed, they're upset, they're at home, they've got lots of time, and they need help, and they're open, more open to your kind of help. More open to, you know, the mental kind of help that will get them back on their feet. So that's a, you know, after this is all over, that's a, you know, if you guys were interested in, you know, working with soccer, working with Brazil, if any of you speak their language, you know, that's a great time to contact them, or the same kind of thing with other sports, too. Athletes, yeah,
and then I realized during this World Cup that the mental was very important. Many goals. Do you say that in English? The teams they scored. Many of the teams scored at the end of the games. And for example, when I look Belgium, USA, the USA were US. They were more stronger at the end of the game than the Belgian, so they wanted more. They were more trying to score than Belgium. When Belgium played against Argentina, they started badly because they were impressed by Argentina. So it's. The mental will make the difference in the future, and I think it's a good moment for a mental coach in sport to try to connect with the soccer, but it's not yet there, because one of the top guys from the soccer federation in Belgium. During the World Cup, he said that we don't need psychologists in the team. The first, let's say, coach, the main coach is enough knowledgeable. But I don't think so. And so there is we have to try to convince them now that that's an asset for the future if they want to win. Because except Brazil, the rest of the scores, that was always 1-0, 1-2, 0-0, etc. That was very equal. Then the difference will be the mental.
Right, that's so true. That's great. And it'll probably be the. I can see it in the future that the, team with the sports psychologist with the mental coach will, you know, can do better, because they have this additional resource that maybe the other teams don't have. Gives them a competitive edge, and it just, you know, it's treating the whole mind and body. It's like, you know, when you go in for some treatment for, you know, one part of the body, you've got, let's say, a foot problem, but it's, chiropractors see it as, oh, the reason you've got a foot problem is because your back's out of alignment. They're treating the whole body to... and the mind and body together, not just looking at this one foot in isolation. And the same thing, I think, with us as mental coaches, that we look at not just that game or that loss or one particular situation, and like the media just does, really zeroes in on that one thing. With us, with our work as performing edge coaches and mental coaching, we can look at the whole situation, the big picture, and look at the person's strengths, whereas most of the athletic coaches, I think, really focus on athlete weaknesses, and there's so much negative coaching that goes on out there, and scorning and finger-pointing and just breaking the athletes down, whereas we as mental coaches can, I think, build the athletes up with looking at their strengths and building on those. So there's so much work out there for us. So it's just a matter of pointing to the situations where you're needed and going at maybe work often. That times the best way to get into a team is just to offer to work with one athlete that needs help, maybe that's injured or that's having trouble. Just work with them for a few complimentary sessions, and then the coach can see what a huge difference it is, and then they'll want you to work with more people, maybe with the whole team. So that's a really good suggestion. So thank you so much for everyone. I think Amy had to leave early. Yeah, that's okay. So this was fantastic discussion. This is great to use this situation with Brazil as a sort of a workshop for us. And all of you had incredible ideas, I think, of what you would do. I can tell that you're all just, you would all be fantastic working with the Brazilian team right now. So you should all travel down there on a plane and evade them and say, hey, we're going to help you. Performing Edge Crisis Intervention Psychology.
That's right.
To help you with your, my term I just came up with, post-traumatic soccer syndrome. In fact, the whole country needs us, I think.
That's right. Yeah.
The whole country's in mourning right now. But life goes on, and there's lots of work for us to do everywhere with every kind of sport and every kind of athlete in all kinds of mental situations. So great, fantastic. Yeah, this is great. It's such an honor to talk with all of you and to work with all of you here. So, look forward to talking with you all on the next call, July 24th, Thursday. And if you have suggestions for other topics here you'd like to talk about, that would be great. You can always email them to me, and we'll include them on our next call.
All right.
So, well, thank you, everyone.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay,
thank you.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.